It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, and a good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. Hope everybody had a fantastic and rather profitable weekend. I got to tell you, so one of the things we do on the show every so often is a bad beat of the week, and I was kind of fishing around for a bad beat of the week, checking Twitter, talking to some buddies, you know, seeing if they've heard anybody or seen anybody that had a bad beat. And everybody was kind of like, no. I mean, Saturday was really chalky at Gulfstream, which we'll get into talking about here in a second. So maybe part of it was that, you know, everybody was live. But some of our folks from the jury, Raider Mike, won a tournament on Saturday and then hit a huge pick five three times on Sunday. Evil Seabass took down the Rainbow Six on a $1.20 ticket and paid over $1,300. And Sam, the syrup man, got really drunk in Alberta. So it was a really good weekend for the barn jury. But I was looking around, and not a lot of folks losing. So that was very good. I was very happy for everybody. I got to tell you, Saturday, I don't know if I've ever been so worthless and lazy in my life. I sat in bed. I didn't get up. Usually I get up, take a walk first thing in the morning, get some exercise. I didn't move. I probably took a total of about 84 steps. I just sat and watched racing all day. And Saturday's kind of my day off here. I mean, I got to watch, you know, to be prepped for the show. But it was an achievement in grossness and laziness on my behalf on Saturday. So I woke up first thing Sunday and took a long walk and got ready for, to prepare for this show. And speaking of preparing for this show, we're going to be joined by Craig Evans, who was the announcer last week at Santa Anita, who was auditioning for that obviously very prestigious job. David Fitzgerald from the UK who auditioned just yesterday and Saturday. Craig was here from Singapore a little over a week. And he's going to join us on the show, talk about that experience, about his career, about the Santa Anita job, and much more. So we'll be joined by him later. In fact, we might also have another special guest. I'm still waiting to hear from my co-producer whether or not we might have a Mo Heyman connection coming up. So speaking of Mo Heyman, he is one of the topics in my pick three.
Welcome. Let's go. It's time for the pick three. Discussing Jason's top three stories of the week.
All right, so I mentioned Mo Heyman, and he is certainly one of our top three stories of the week. Here's the stretch call of the Fountain of Youth from this past week.
Flat, and they're moving into the far turn, and Zulu takes the lead. Zulu has taken over on the far turn from Awesome Banner, and Mo Heyman is right alongside of them, and the three of them head around the far turn, four lengths clear of Awesome Speed, who's been passed now by Fellowship, and Fellowship's about to go past stablemate Awesome Banner on the far turn. In the meanwhile, Zulu and Mo Heyman have run three quarters in 111 flat, and they're coming to the top of the stretch of the Fountain of Youth. Fellowship is trying to come and get them from third, and they're into the stretch, and it's Mo Heyman who has taken the lead on the outside. Mo Heyman to the front, pulling away from Zulu. Fellowship is third as Mo Heyman pulls away. And Mo Heyman remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu.
All right, so Mo Heyman with a very solid win in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Picked up a 95 buyer for his effort, which certainly stamps him among the top contenders for the Kentucky Derby. To me, on the eye test, a lot of people were kind of oohing and aahing on this race by Mo Heyman, and on the eye test, for me, it wasn't as impressive. It wasn't as impressive as his last race in the Holy Bull, I didn't think. I have a sneaking suspicion that he might have kind of leveled off on his ability. Obviously, you know, he was really good as a two-year-old, and it's rare to see horses that continue that long, long, steady progression. But to me, this Derby is setting up for an upset. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out who I think is going to make it. Zulu put in a very nice run. You know, he battled hard. He was beaten 2.25 lengths. But, you know, that was a big step up for him. And certainly I don't think he He certainly belongs on the Kentucky Derby Trail, I think, after this race. We saw Fellowship, a big bomb, close in to get third. Both Awesome Banner and Awesome Speed. Awesome Banner showed the early pace and kind of packed it in. He was beaten by, 25 lengths, I think it was. And he had 26 lengths. And Awesome Speed, beaten by 13, really didn't do much of anything. So I think what we saw from this race is that, Mohamed is obviously going to go on and be one of the favorites for the Kentucky Derby, barring something, totally goofy happened in the Florida Derby. If he goes to that, that's the other thing is Nyquist's connections are going to that. And, I would love to ask Kieran Fallon, if he's thinking about maybe the Wood Memorial too. But, I'm sure they'll assess the situation for what it is because, right now it doesn't seem like the Wood Memorial has a whole lot of, big horses lined up for it. It hasn't in recent years been a very productive prep. So maybe Mo Heyman does ship north or maybe he stays south and takes on the likes of Nyquist and probably Zulu and probably a few other good horses. I mean, $1 million up for grabs. You gotta earn $1 million payday. You're not going to scare him away for $1 million. So, but Mo Heyman, he gets the top spot. He was the story of the weekend. The second part of our pick three comes from the Devona Dale, the race I said before I was most excited about on the weekend.
Then Rontos Lily around the far turn, Dearest on the inside. Our Girl's a Charmer between Catherine Sophia to the outside and Lewis Bay four wide. Three quarters in 1:11 and four. They're into the stretch. Catherine Sophia runs for the lead on the outside and takes off. Catherine Sophia is pouring it on now. She has opened up suddenly to a five-length lead over Dearest and Lewis Bay. Oh, this is one fantastic filly.
Fantastic indeed. Catherine Sophia just continues her march toward the Kentucky Oaks. And I've been on the Catherine Sophia train for a while now. I've been on the train saying I think she's better than Songbird. And I think she's going to thump Songbird if they meet up together in the Kentucky Oaks. But man, how cool will it be if, Songbird continues on her way and Catherine Sophia continues on her way and those two meet up for a grudge match in the Kentucky Oaks. I mean, the Kentucky Oaks is always a great race to watch and a fun race to watch. But I don't think that we've seen two of this level of filly going into that race in quite a while. And so the Kentucky Oaks could be just awesome this year because I think Catherine Sophia is just so cool. John Service, what you could tell in the interviews, my friend sent me a text after the last time Catherine Sophia won it. She said, boy, does John Service look smug. Just looks like he's so confident in this horse. And he's just like, yeah, I know what I got. And it was a little of that again. She's proven she can come from off the pace and she just kicks away in the stretch. I thought her down the lane, I thought she looked better than Mo Heyman did. Just again, from a visual standpoint, I'm certainly no, uber expert at judging how horses look down the lane. But I thought Catherine Sophia is just magnificent. And man, I tell you what, I'll take her over Songbird right now for the Kentucky Oaks. But the third story in our pick three is a little bit off the actual racing map. I mean, it's not really off the race map, but there's more and more coming out about racing in Illinois, and this is just sad to me because Illinois racing has a pretty strong history and has some important things coming up on some important ballots. And we heard that Hawthorne is not going to run any stakes races in their meet, which gets underway March 11th. And I'm hoping to have Jim Miller from Hawthorne on the show. I'm going to reach out to him soon and hopefully have him to kind of preview the meet and talk about some of what's going on in Illinois. But man, I tell you, I've been to Arlington Racecourse many times, and it is a gorgeous facility. It's a world-class facility, in my opinion. Its biggest day of racing, the Arlington Million, is a world-class event, again, in my opinion. And it's just they used to have a really nice stakes schedule leading up to it as well, and it seems like that's going to all kind of be going by the wayside here because, they're not getting gambling, and they're, oversaturated in the gambling market, and it's just, I hate the idea that slots are the necessary save for a lot of this stuff, and maybe they are, and maybe they aren't. I don't, that's another debate to have. But now the Arlington Horsemen are in talks with the Arlington track folks, trying to hammer out a purse agreement, and it's just a mess. And we kind of saw this with Maryland a few years ago, and now Maryland's really turned the corner nicely and doing really well. And part of that, I'm sure, is from gaming stuff. And so maybe Arlington will find themselves in that, kind of situation because, you know, the racing down at Laurel and Pimlico has taken off really in the last couple of years in terms of just turning a corner. And they were, you know, they were writing the obituaries for those places a couple of years ago. So we shall see what happens. But that's this week's Pick 3. We're going to head out to a short break. When we come back, I'm hoping to have a special guest. And don't forget Craig Evans coming up on the show as well. It's a Monday morning edition of The Barn, the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland-Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and I'm told that we do have a special guest. He's a a fantastic trainer. We actually were lucky enough to have on the show last week, and he's back to a follow-up talk about Mohame, and trainer Kieran McLaughlin joining us here once again on the Bet America Radio Network. Kieran, how are you?
Great, thanks.
Kieran, it was a fantastic race by Mohame. You got a 95 buyer speed figure we talked about. How did he come out of the race?
Great. He's doing very well.
So, Kieran, what were your initial impressions of the Fountain of Youth? You know, we talked about last week how it was a very tough field. What were your overall impressions of the race?
Great. He's doing very well.
Okay. I know you stuck with jockey Junior Alvarado on this horse, and he's, I thought he gave another ride. What was your, how do you think Junior's been doing with this horse?
Great. He's doing very well.
So, Kieran, obviously, you know, the plan is for the Florida Derby. I think a lot of people are wondering if you'll try to avoid Nyquist, who's coming over for the Florida Derby for that $1 million bonus. Is the plan to keep him in the Florida Derby?
Great. He's doing very well.
Okay. Let me see. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Kieran, going forward, and we hope to... get you on the show again and continued success with your horse, Mohame, as you move forward.
Great, thanks.
Anything else you want to say?
Great, he's doing very well.
All right. Well, there we have it. Trainer Kieran McLaughlin joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. When we come back, Craig Evans from Singapore, who was one of the announcers vying for the Santa Anita job, going to join us on the other side of this break. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go overseas to Singapore and welcome in our guest. He's a race caller and in Singapore, and last week was auditioning for the role of race caller at Santa Anita Park. Craig Evans joining us on the phone. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, very good, Jason. Glad to be on the show. Thanks.
Yeah, I imagine that was a bit of a long week for you between flying to L.A., doing the races, and then flying back. How was the travel experience part of the whole thing?
Yeah, the travel is long here from Singapore. It's about 20 hours each way. Yeah, we need to go via Tokyo and Japan, and there's a couple of hours rest over, and then you fly directly from Tokyo to LA. So in transit, around about 19 and a half hours to get to LA and around about 21 and a half hours to get back because of the headwinds. I worked on the Tuesday, left on the Wednesday. I was back in Singapore on the Wednesday morning and back at work on Thursday. So there was no real rest, but a great experience.
Did you bring your family over or just yourself?
No, my wife came with me just to have a little bit of a look around. So we both, she's a school nurse here in Singapore, so she took a week's annual leave, and so did myself from the Singapore Turf Club. And, yeah, we both came over and had a good look around.
Craig Evans joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. So, Craig, for somebody from so far away from Santa Anita, obviously just in distance, what was it about applying for the Santa Anita job that interests you?
Well, I've always had an interest in American racing and American sport, and I was in Hong Kong, in actual fact, in December, and coincidentally, I said to Bill Nader, the racing director at the time there in Hong Kong, if he ever heard of anything that came up into America, you know, let me know. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, I believe Trevor Denman resigned last week. And from that point on, I sent in an email to Santa Anita, and that was probably about 2 weeks before Christmas, probably around about the 14th. December, and from there it just sort of took off, and I've been in pretty well constant contact with Amy Zimmerman at Santa Anita since then.
So what do you remember about getting that call, email asking you to come over for a tryout? Because I know for me, like, you know, I've been offered a couple of announcing jobs, and it's always kind of a cool experience, and then you get off the phone and it's like, holy moly, you know, what was that like when you got the call that you were going to come over?
Well, it was all by email, in actual fact, and I'd probably had, you know, upwards of a dozen emails with Santa and Nita back and forth over the time, and I do remember it clearly. It was on a Saturday morning, and I go for a bike ride in a group here, road cycling, and we do around about 80 Ks, and at the end of that, we stop at a garage service station to get a drink, and I check my emails, and there was an email, and that, yeah, it was very exciting to get that email to be invited across, and that was probably going back about 6 weeks ago now that I initially found out that I was going to be asked over. I was actually asked to come over the week before I actually came, but it was Chinese New Year and a very busy period here in Singapore, so I couldn't come. But yeah, it was super exciting, and it's probably an email I'll frame and put on the wall at some stage.
Yeah, I got a few of those emails. I had a book get published, and I remember that email where they finally said, you know, we want to talk to you about pursuing that. It was like, you know, that's one you never delete for sure. Craig Evans joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. And so, you know, you mentioned that you'd inquired recently about calling in the States when you were in Hong Kong. Is it something you'd thought about before? Or, I mean, because, you know, as an announcer, you kind of always have the, you know, the phone, you know, you're always ready for the answer if something pops up.
Yeah, for sure. It's something I'd thought about, but probably only really came into consideration in the end of 2013. Myself and my wife and two children, we went to the States for a four-week vacation and pretty well traveled everywhere. We were in LA and San Francisco and Vegas and the Canyon and up to New York for about 2 weeks and down to Washington, and we went to Orlando and Harry Potter World and did the lot. It was great. And I came back, and I've got an American colleague that works in Hong Kong now, and I said to him, you know, if ever anything came up, let me know, because I just love, I've always loved, you know, the thought of, you know, racing in the States and also the sports in the United States, but being there, and I just loved everything about it. So probably from 2013, it's been a real serious consideration.
So I'm curious about, you know, racing in the States and how it's viewed overseas, because, you know, over here we watch racing from Dubai, we watch racing from Hong Kong, you know, we Australia, all that kind of stuff. Is racing in Singapore and in parts of Asia, is it popular from the U.S.?
Not so much in Asia because of the time difference. It's very awkward. You know, it's well, for LA, for instance, you know, Singapore's 16 hours ahead. So when you're racing on a Saturday afternoon, it's early Sunday morning here, for instance. But not so much in Asia, but we know about all the big races. But you know, day in, day out, not so much. But that's mainly because of the time difference. But certainly the big races, once the Breeders' Cup comes around and the, you know, the Triple Crown and the Derbies and what have you, we know all about those. But it's really just the time difference, which is a little bit prohibitive.
Yeah, I've been to Santa Anita many times, and one of the things about Santa Anita, when you walk up, it's a gorgeous track. The history and everything kind of hits you at once. What was it like when you first pulled into the parking lot there at Santa Anita?
Yeah, it was amazing. We actually got into town late on the Wednesday afternoon, and I hired a car, and I just drove around Santa Anita. We were staying in Monrovia, so just up the road, and just from the car, it looked magnificent. But when I walked in, the back paddock and the colour scheme of the grandstand and everything about the place, the greenness of the grass and the paddock, everything was just amazing, really. Everyone fables about the view of the San Gabriel Mountains and what have you, but I actually was taken more about the back area of the paddock and where they settled the horses and everything. It's just real racing. It was fantastic, and you know, something I want to get going to at the Santa Anita for sure.
Craig Evans joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network, talking about the job at Santa Anita and the audition. Have you watched any of David Fitzgerald's races this weekend?
I watched some on Saturday. Yeah, didn't have a look on the Sunday because, as I say, there's a time difference. But yeah, he's doing a good job. So totally, totally different sort of style and the way I call my races to the way David's doing it. And, you know, everyone's different. You know, I've heard quite a bit of Michael's and also Frank's, and everyone's got their own sort of personality and style. But I think everyone's done a wonderful job. And, you know, it's very tough, you know, to arrive there and just call the races without really knowing the pattern of horses and what have you. But, yeah, he's done a good job.
Yeah, it's, you know, even though there are three, you know, quote unquote international voices, between Michael, you, and David, there definitely is a distinct in sound, tone, you know, cadence, all that kind of stuff. So I do think that fans have gotten, you know, four very distinct announcers to listen to during this meet. How were your nerves during the races and beforehand? Because, I mean, you know, it's a pretty big pressure situation.
It is. It is. I've got a lot of the big races here in Singapore. We have, you know, well, we did have the $3 million international race. So I've probably done, you know, 9 or 10 $3 million races and probably another $4 or $5 million races. So I'm used to the big occasion, but I must admit I was very nervous probably the whole weekend. And a lot of that came about from the, you know, the commentary booth there. It's very, very different to what I'm used to here in Singapore. In Singapore, I've got a binocular stand and I'm very comfortable. I actually designed the box when we renovated about 4 or 5 years ago. Santa Anita probably wasn't built for my height. I'm 6'2", so I was sort of crouching down and trying to look around corners to get the sight line. So, yeah, I never really felt comfortable at any stage. The nerves were obviously there, but yeah, I had a good time. It was great fun, and you know, reflecting on it, it's certainly going to be a career highlight.
It's interesting you mention that because I'm 6'4", and I had been in there with Trevor once, and I thought to myself, I go, well, I can never have this job because I'll have a sore neck every day of my life because for folks who haven't seen pictures of it, there's kind of a low hanging little ceiling that goes out of the window that's probably only about 5'10" high, right?
Yeah, no, definitely is. And it was funny. I walked around up in the you know, the judges area and also the stewards box and where the media room is, the level above. And I thought to myself, well, in reality, probably the caller's box has got the worst view of the track from any of these areas upstairs. But that comes from, obviously, Trevor was there for a long time, and he had the box set up the way he felt he was comfortable. And people can come to Singapore and get into my box and think, you know, this is totally wrong for me. So those sort of things, you know, I would have to adjust to and probably adjust the box as well. But it was a little bit awkward in that regard, yeah.
Did you get to call any of the races down the hill? I can't quite remember.
No, and I was disappointed about that because I've always known about the hill at Santa Anita, and I was looking forward to it, but they had a lot of rain on the Wednesday, and the Friday races, they took all off the turf, but the two on the weekend, there was supposed to be a downhill race on the Saturday and also the Sunday, and they were both taken off and run on the main track. So, yeah, I was very disappointed about that. I was really looking forward to that because that is just totally unique. That's something I've never seen before.
And I remember when I got to Santa Anita, it looks way farther away in reality than it does on TV. They zoom in pretty good there. They're way back there when they're on there.
Yeah, it's a fair way away, but that really wasn't a bother for me. And coming from Australia and also here in Singapore, we've got a long bend here, so there's a 600-meter run in, or a 550-meter run in. So when they turn off the back straight in that, they're probably as far away as they are at the start of the 6.5 furlongs of Santa Anita. So distance wise wasn't really an issue. I was just really curious to see what it felt like to call a race where they turn both ways. Mm-hmm. They initially turn right and then they come back if you're left-handed. So that would have been really, really cool to call.
Tell us a little bit about the track in Singapore there, because, you know, I've seen a number of races from Hong Kong. Is the track in Singapore, is it a city track? I mean, is it right in between the skyscrapers and stuff? Is it more rural? What's the setup like there?
Well, Singapore is a city state, so yeah. It's very, very small. But the actual track is right at the northern part of the island, so it is relatively rural. There's still tall buildings around, schools and condominiums where people live and what have you, but nowhere near the size of, say, Happy Valley or Sha Tin in Hong Kong, which right in the built-up area. The track was actually built in 1999, and it was designed by Americans, so it's very much based on American-style tracks, probably a little bit deeper than Santa Anita. And we have a turf track on the outside, and the inside is a poly track, so an all-weather track. So the main racing is done on the grass here. And as I say, we've got two bends. That's just to alleviate wear and tear on the turf. So one of the bends straightens up with 400 metres to go, and the other one around about 500, 550. So they can alternate between the two turns, which obviously is where you get the most wear and tear from the horses.
Craig Evans joining us on the Bet America Radio Network. You got to call Zaconic's first race, and you know, obviously being Zenyatta's child, I'm sure there was a lot of talk about that while you were there. How did that race go for you? And were you keeping a little extra eye on him throughout the race, because he was way far back?
Yeah, it probably, to be honest, probably didn't mean as much to me as, say, if Michael or Frank had called the race, being, you know, based in the States. Obviously, I know all about Zenyatta, but I was trying to keep a little bit of a lid on it with Zaconic, and it was quite funny. I was talking to a few of the press guys in the lead-up to the race, and they said, well, the first one's a little bit of a dud. Hopefully the second one's a lot better. When it jumped out, and, you know, Gary had it so far back, and it just kept on, you know, for the first two furlongs, it just continually dropped back. I thought, well, hang on, this, you know, it looks like Zenyatta, but hopefully it's not like Zenyatta's first foal. But coming to the bend, I was certainly keeping a little eye on it, but I was mindful of not trying to get too caught up in Zaconic. In hindsight, maybe I should have mentioned it a few more times, but it was certainly a great thrill, and I'm sure it's going to have a wonderful future. The way it hit the line first up in a race was magnificent. So it's going to be a horse I followed very, very closely.
What were some of your favorite moments of the weekend?
I think just being there and the people, really. I dealt very closely with Amy Zimmerman, but I met most of the guys there from Santa Anita. But, you know, Tom Quigley, I was on his show. It was just everyone I met was just so welcoming and so encouraging, which I thought was really great, because obviously, as an outsider coming in, I wasn't really sure what to expect, whether there'd be any resistance, you know, we want the local guys to get the job sort of attitude, but there was absolutely none of that. Everyone was really, really welcoming, and just being at Santa Anita and, you know, calling the races, seeing the races was great. But I really loved the people. It was really refreshing that, you know, going to the races, everyone generally loved the horses, and it was just a great weekend.
Did you get to do anything else around LA other than the track, or did you just kind of lay low with your wife?
Now, Thursday, we drove around, went up, you know, up to the observatory and had a look at a sign, and drove down to Santa Monica and walked on the pier and what have you, and then drove all the way up to Mount Wilson at the back of the track there, which was magnificent, a long drive, but that was good fun. And then on the Thursday night, we went to the Spurs basketball match. Big basketball fans. My son's a massive Golden State fan, so he's having a good run at the moment. I saw the Clippers and Spurs, you know, two of the best teams at the minute in the NBA. So that was a great thrill going to be here at the Staples Center. So that was about it. Friday, we went to the races all day, and had a meal here in the restaurant, and just sort of eased into the place, I guess, and they got to know a few things. And then Saturday, Sunday was all about racing, and we're back on the plane by midday on Monday.
Craig Evans joining us for just a couple more moments here on the Bet America Radio Network. So, Craig, I want to ask a little bit about your background. I know you're a native Australian. What was it that led you away from Australia towards Singapore?
Well, I was in Canaan, my hometown, initially, and then it was a bit of a leap to go to Perth, which is our capital city in Western Australia, and I got a job there. And I'm the youngest of seven kids in the family, and all but one other is still living in Carnarvon. So we're very much sort of, you know, homies, as you like. So to move to Perth was a big deal. But then when the job came up in Singapore, it was another big leap. The children were young at that stage, but I took the opportunity when I arose, went to Singapore, been there 9 years. Race calling is very much right place, right time. If a job comes up and you don't go for it, you'll miss out forever, because it just won't come up again for another 5, 10, in Trevor's case, 33 years or whatever it was. So you've got to, you know, take your chances when they come. Some of the you know, the chances you take are pretty big moves, as it was coming from Perth to Singapore. Going to the States would be a big move once again. But as I say, if you don't take your chances, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. So it's something you've got to do, and I've enjoyed every bit of my career so far.
Was it difficult to adjust, both for you and for the family, moving from, you know, Australia to Asia? I know it's quite a big culture shock.
Yeah, it was very much so. And I mentioned the children. They were, I think, 7 and 8 when we arrived here in Singapore. And I was working, you know, every Friday night, Saturday, Sunday at the time. So that was very, very difficult. Probably took us a good 18 months, maybe 2 years to settle in and, you know, get the kids really happy in school and what have you. My son's now left school. He's finished his schooling. He'll go to university next year. And my daughter's in her final year. So the last 3 or 4 years have been a lot easier, but it initially certainly took a long time to settle in. It is a totally different culture here to Australia and the States. I'm sure the States and Australia are very similar, but once you get to Asia, it's just totally different.
Yeah, yeah. One of my my very good friends in the announcing business was an Australian who went to Hong Kong and now is in the States and in Canada, Robert Geller. Are you familiar with Robert and his work at all?
I know who he is, definitely, but I haven't met Robert, but I know of his work, and very good announcer.
Yeah, I know he did the Hong Kong to he came here. I live in Seattle, and he came here when Emerald Downs first opened, and he was the only guy here for the first 20 years, and so he was kind of an institution here, but he took the Woodbine job. But there's just some fantastic callers to have come out of Australia, and you're another one of them, and we wish you the best of luck with the Santa Anita job, and in the meantime, folks can hear you in Singapore.
Okay, thanks for that, Jason. Absolute pleasure speaking with you, and hopefully we'll get to catch up one day.
All right, Craig Evans joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Craig Evans for joining us from all the way over in Singapore. Now, I'll give you a little behind the scenes look at how the Bet America Radio Network is produced. So I usually tape the shows in the evening before that we put them out in the morning. And so I'm taping right now, and I called Craig at 4 p.m. on Sunday, which means it was 8 a.m. Monday morning where he was at. And so a 16-hour time difference, but we figured it out, made it work, and really glad to get a little bit of his story and hear about his experience at Santa Anita. You know, it's a race caller's dream to get to call a race at Santa Anita. I know it's mine. I've always said my two goals and dreams in race calling were to call a race at Santa Anita and to call the Long Acres Mile. And so far, neither one of those has come true, but I still got a little time. But anyways, it was really cool to catch up with him. But I gotta commend Skype. I mean, calling all the way to Singapore and having a 20-minute conversation with Craig there cost me 49 cents. I mean, that is a deal and a half to be able to call that far across the world for that cheap. So Skype is a wonderful thing, and Skype brings us all of our interviews here on the Bet America Radio Network. So much going on at BetAmerica.com. We're going to recap some of the big tournament action from the weekend. You know, we had our $15,000 tournament that we talked a lot about on Friday. We had our final Horse Player World Series tournament that went on Friday as well. And so we'll talk about all that stuff tomorrow. Some great promotions you still need to check out at BetAmerica.com, including our Road to the Kentucky Derby promo. If if you had a win ticket on Mo Heyman and he takes a spot in the starting gate on the Kentucky Derby, you're going to get a win ticket on him. And I'm sure a lot of people had Mo Heyman in their bets the other day, because he was, you know, obviously massive chalk. But that's the way it works with this Road to the Kentucky Derby promo. You place a win wager on a horse in one of the preps. It's basically just the point preps. So coming up this weekend, there's the race in New York, and my internet's being goofy, and I can't for the life of me remember what the race is called. But it's Gotham. That's it. Gotham Stakes. So you can do that. But if you make a win bet of $10 or more, Bet American, you can do it online, mobile, or the app on any of the trial races. And that horse comes back, you'll in the Kentucky Derby, you'll get a free bet on that horse on the first Saturday in May. And so we had Gunrunner, who won the Risen Star. The Southwest was Sudden Breaking News a few weeks back. El Camino Real Derby with Frank Conversation. And then, of course, Mo Heyman in the Fountain of Youth this week. So the Gotham Stakes is up next. Then we got a big weekend. Tampa Bay Derby and San Felipe Stakes coming up on the 12th of March from Tampa Bay. And then, of course, Santa Anita. The Rebel Stakes coming up little bit later on, the week after that, the Sunland Derby, then comes the Louisiana Derby, then we get into the big daddies, the UAE Derby. I'm hearing that Frank Conversation, who won the El Camino Real Derby, is actually going to go to the UAE Derby, so he'll be in Dubai for their big night on March the 26th. Or big morning for us, rather. And then the Florida Derby and the Spiral Stakes on the 2nd, Wood Memorial, Bluegrass, Santa Anita Derby on April 9th, and then the Arkansas Derby the following week, along with the Lexington from Keeneland. So the maximum free bet is $25, but again, minimum is $10. If you make a $25 win bet on Mohamed, and he won yesterday, now you're going to get a $25 free bet bonus in the Kentucky Derby if he makes it to the starting gate, which points-wise and talent-wise, he'll have no problem doing. It's just a matter of whether or not he can get there. So a lot of cool stuff. Go to BetAmerica.com, get checked out. If you haven't signed up yet for BetAmerica, we have that $300, up to $300 initial deposit match. So if you go home, like my buddy Raider Mike, I was talking to Raider Mike. You know, he won a nice tournament, hit a couple of pick fives. He said, I want to open a Bet America account. I said, well, go home, deposit $300, and then we'll put $300 in your little match deposit thing. And so, you know, you bet 50 one day. The next day, you get 10% of that back, $5. Bet 500, you get back 50. And that's kind of how it works. It's pretty easy to do. Just go to betamerica.com. For to get signed up. If you want to listen to past episodes of The Barn, you can find those at betamerica.com/barn, or just go to betamerica.com/extra and then click on the Barn links, and that'll get you all set up. So once again, my thanks to Craig Evans for joining us. Real fun to chat with him, and we look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of The Barn. Hope everybody has a great rest of your Monday. We'll get this week going, and everybody have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.